During the month of March, we are doing a series on the Psalms, and that's through the five Sundays in Lent. Technically, Palm Sunday is a Sunday in Lent, although we have other things to talk about on Palm Sunday. So I thought during March, we have five Sundays, we're doing a series on the Psalms. This is our third, so we're right in the middle of it. And the reason why we're doing this is to get in touch with our feelings, to get in touch with our hearts, our emotions. We started with Psalm 51 2 weeks ago, which is actually a psalm that's usually associated with Ash Wednesday. It's a psalm of repentance, of confession, contrition. Then last week we had Psalm 8, one of the creation psalms, a psalm that expressed a lot of awe and wonder at the creation of God. And who are we in significance compared to all that is out there in the universe? Today we have a brutally honest psalm expressing our complaints, our accusations against God. The paraphrased song that we heard sugarcoats it. So here is a non-paraphrased version. There's only six verses in this, by the way, in Psalm 13. So it's a rather brief psalm of complaint. There's other psalms of complaint that are there as well in the 150 or so psalms there are. It starts, the first two verses are, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my heart and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemies exult over me?" We'll stop there for now. If we are honest with ourselves, we have all felt this. I won't make you raise your hands, but we have all been there before. Why me, God? Why us? Why my family? Why my child? My spouse? Why did this happen to us? Why here? Why did disaster happen to my household? Why did I lose my job and not the person sitting next to me? Why can't I catch a break? Why can't I get ahead? All of us have prayed these prayers before. Yet how often do we express it here in church? A place where we consider the most sacred of places that we come, God's house. I can't tell you how often I've heard people come to me with these kinds of feelings, thinking that they shouldn't feel angry towards God. They feel guilty because they have these kinds of feelings of impatience, of frustration with God. They think that they have been taught that they should just simply trust and obey and accept whatever happens to them, that God wills it, that questioning God is a sin, despite the fact that anger towards God, when something happens, can certainly be considered to be a natural reaction, even a justifiable reaction. It's not something that we should be ashamed of. I don't believe that God causes all the pain in the world. Far from it. God might send some curveballs our way, but God doesn't cause pain on purpose. God is a God of good and mercy and justice. But we do come to God with complaints when something goes bad, don't we? Well, take heart. Such a reaction that we have of being impatient with God is not indicative of someone who has no faith. This is not a prayer of someone who doesn't have faith in God. It's actually proof that they do have faith in God. Because it asserts the belief that, number one, God can do something about it. That God can help you. That God can help you solve your problems. Even though it might not have been God who put you there in the first place. It might even be our own fault. But you believe that God can intervene in the situation and help you out. Give you comfort. Give you strength. Give you something to pull you through. Number two, it affirms that God is involved with all the aspects of life that there is. Not just the good times, not just the times we celebrate and we praise and the positive things of life, but also in the negative things of life. God is with us for the bad times as well as the good. Three, when we express our anger at God, it's an example of the closeness we have with God. A lot of times we have disagreements with people that are close to us, people in our family, our children, our spouse, our parents. Why? Because it's someone who we expect will care about us and will love us. So we go to God with our anger and our complaints and our impatience because we know that God cares for us and we care for God and we expect things from God. Otherwise, why would we come to God if we did not have any kind of relationship with God? So take heart. And coming to God is the key. Coming to God is the answer. Coming to God is a good place to start. So do not feel ashamed when you come to God and ask, help me, God. How long do I have to wait? How long before you notice me in my problems? Maybe by coming to God with these kinds of things, we might actually get answers. And if we don't, we won't get those answers. Maybe when bad things happen to us, there are lessons that we need to learn. Maybe the hardships will make us stronger. Maybe something happened to us so that we could testify to others how it is we made it through. And thus, maybe our hardships might in the long run become a blessing. We don't see through to the other side. We don't see the full picture, but God does. Maybe these things are sent our way so that we can be an example of how to pull through something. We can be a blessing despite our curses. But we might never know these things unless we express these questions, first of all, to God. Now, I got a long list of whys for heaven that I'm building up. Most of them aren't that big of a deal. Most of them I can wait on. But sometimes I scratch my head and I look up at the sky and I say, why, God? This doesn't make much sense. Now, I'm a curious person, but I hope to get some answers when I get to heaven. The truth is that the world is full of a lot of people who have lost their faith because of questions like this. Because they never get to the other side of their anger and frustration and they're waiting on God. They don't have the patience. And what is the other side, you ask? Well, for that we turn to the last two verses of our psalm. Quote, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has been good to me. Wow, how do we go from 0 to 150 so quickly in 6 short verses? From despair to praise. Luther had a lot to say of this psalm. He said that this is a prayer which hope despairs and yet despair hopes at the same time. I'll say that again. Where hope despairs and despair hopes at the same time. Going on further with Luther, this psalm is appropriate as long as life lasts. The agony and the ecstasy are held together. And that is a secret of our identity. Life taken at its fullest. Life taken honestly. Life taken at face value. Life taken at the ground level, at the grassroots. This is our identity of Christians. Christians don't deny the pain of the world. In fact, they seek to do something about it. They seek to strive through it. They seek to get to the other side. Christian people, this identity that Luther talks about, are people that acknowledge pain, but ultimately come out on the other side with praise. We are people of the crucifixion as well as the empty tomb. How appropriate in this time of Lent to remember where we're going to end up at the end, at a risen Christ, an empty tomb. In these days and weeks ahead, this week, I urge you to be honest with God. Tell God what's troubling you. Don't be satisfied with what someone else told you that you should believe. Search for the answers with God's help. Meditate. Don't be settle for pad answers. God always answers. God always responds. If you want to probe deeper, if you have questions of God, God will walk through it with you. God respects you and your troubles and your concerns and your anxieties. Be patient, because we need people who can get through to the other side, people who can give hope in this time of anxiety and fear. We need people who could point to the other side, people who have come out to the other side before, to proclaim that God's love never fails, that God is good, that God is our salvation and is the best hope for this world.